Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're just talking about the nine processes of devotional service, at which point Radha Kripa Prabhu kindly offered a garland to me. Which of the nine processes is that? No, come on. Krishna consciousness is a science. What do you think? You're a big scholar. Which of the nine processes does...
Pada-sevana.
Yeah, I was thinking that also. Because devotees like to take a position at the feet of the Lord. So, serving... they're very fortunate if they can get a position at the feet of the Lord. So, serving the devotees is coming under Pada-sevana. Bhakata Shiva, Parama Shiddhi, Prema Bhakti, Prema Lati Karamula. Yeah. Vishnu Sahasranam, name 992, Papa Nashana. The meaning of the name is clear to anyone who knows Indian languages. Papa, we know what the word means. The whole gamut of what constitutes papa is a very big topic. It translates pretty well into English as sin. The concept of sin is there in Christian culture. I suppose it must be in Islam, Judaism, and also, and the concept of papa is there. In Vedic culture and the half-Vedic, anti-Vedic culture of Buddhism, sin means that which should not be done and which by doing one incurs adverse reactions. In the Catholic tradition in which I was raised, there's the concept of cardinal sins and venial sins, which is something like felonies and misdemeanors, in secular American culture. Cardinal sins are really bad and venial sins are not so bad. And whatever it is, you can get relieved from it. Prayaschitta is very easy. In the Catholic tradition, every Saturday evening, you go to confess your sins to the priest, who's sitting behind a screen so he doesn't see who you are, sounding very bored. I did this, I did that, I did this. Okay, say three Hail Marys, light a candle, and I absolve you from sins. The priest absolves you from sins. And then you go to Mass the next morning, Sunday morning, and then, if you're old enough, you go to the pub, if you're a male. The pub is opposite the church, at least the church I used to go to, so all the men would go out, and all the women would go home to cook the special Sunday feast of roast beef, special for Sunday. There's no proper understanding. We should understand that it's a very serious matter. Why is there a war going on in Palestine, in Ukraine? We don't hear about all the wars, only the ones that the Western press is interested in, or the ones that more closely affect the interests of the powers that be. Otherwise, there are various wars going on in Africa and all over the place. Why are there? You can analyze, well, Why is there war in Ukraine? Because someone has territorial ambitions and whatever. They're different. You can make political analysis, but if we get down to the karmic level, or if we understand more deeply, you may say, well, it's someone's territorial ambitions or whatever. But why? Why are they impelled by all this? Arjuna asked the same question. Why do people do bad things? It's a common question. Why is there evil in the world? Is a question which atheists often ask. There can't be any God. Arjuna asked the question a little differently. Why do we do bad things? Atakena prayuktayam papam charity purushaha anichan api varshaya baladiva niyojitaha. Why do we do bad things, even though we know it's wrong, and we don't really want to do, but it's like we're almost pushed to do it. Kama eshi bhagavan uvacha, kama esha krodha esha rajoguna mahashanaha. What's the next line? Wait, you're too high. Mahashanaha. Mahapapma. Mahashano mahapapma vidhyenam iha vairnam. This is our real enemy. Who's the enemy in Ukraine? Depends which side you're on. Who's the enemy in Palestine? Depends which side you're on. We are our own worst enemies. But papa, this impulse to do sinful, it's like a great fire. You can't control it. You have big fires. Were there around this part of California? Big fires raging in this part of California. I went to America. I got a great job earning lots of money. I got a big house, and then it burned down. Lost it all. Tried to squeeze something out of the insurance company. Still trying. Why? Why is there evil in the world? It comes down to us. As the saying goes, what goes around comes around. We get what we deserve. And the world situation is so bad because we all do sinful activities. And just being in this world means that we have to do, we can't avoid it. Even if we try to avoid doing sins, we can't avoid it, because even if accidentally we step on some ants, or while you're driving along, you don't know how many living beings you're killing. When the rainy season begins in India, so many bugs and so many insects will start reproducing all over the place. You drive along, especially in the early morning or evening, and you find your windscreen, even if it's not raining, it's covered with dead bugs it's like a cloud of them, and you just drive and splat, splat, you don't even notice, and you have to put your windscreen wiper to wipe them all off. You can't avoid it. Yesterday I was asked the question about not criticizing, not making offenses. But even if we try not to, we can make offenses. However much we try. There's that narration of Rupa Goswami absorbed in ecstasy, seeing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in his heart. Something humorous comes up and he laughs. At that moment, a devotee, a very neophyte devotee, who has got a divine form, or is what used to be called in English a spastic, and now in Hindi they call it divyanga. It used to be vikalanga. Sanskrit is vikalanga, now it's divyanga, as if something desirable. But it's bad karma. And he thought Rupa Goswami was laughing at him for being in this crippled form, and he took offense. And Rupa Goswami's meditation broke. Rupa Goswami cannot commit offense. It's not, he doesn't have any envy in his heart. It's not possible. But someone may take it like that. He's not trying to make any offense, but automatically that comes. That's just to show us the nature of this world. Otherwise, the pure devotees, they can't make an offense. And even if they do something wrong, just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, for one who is a fully surrendered devotee, they can't do any wrong. Even if they make mistakes and everything, which everyone does in this world, everyone makes mistakes. Brahmapramad vipralipsa karana patav. But we may. What is a mistake can also be subjective. But the point is that we can't avoid. And therefore, we in the Vedic culture, there are various activities one has to do to overcome the sins that are committed just in the course of ordinary life. Just collecting water from the well. That doesn't sound very sinful. That sounds something like pristine life. But then you strain the water and you may disturb fish in the water, and then you strain the water and then the bugs or whatever are living in the water, they die. And by walking on the road, you kill the ants. By collecting firewood, you may disturb so many creatures who are living in the twigs which have fallen on the ground, and then you burn the firewood. And undoubtedly, there will be bugs inside. You just collect from the ground the twigs that fall down. You can't avoid it. What will you do? Then you don't cook. The vanaprastas living in the forest, they try to be as sinless as possible. They only take leaves and fruits that have fallen from the ground, and roots they can take. But the Jains don't take roots because they think they'll disturb the worms in the ground. They're so strict. I always ask Jains, if you meet them on a train or a plane, they say, well, we're better vegetarians than you. We don't. So you're going in the plane, and what's the fuel? It's from oil, right? Where does that come from? How much disturbance do you make by extracting oil from the earth? So they never thought about that. And they'll sweep the road in front of them, the Jain sadhus and sadvis, so that they don't step on any insects on the road. But by sweeping the road, you can disturb and maybe kill the insects also. So you can't avoid. And what to speak of deliberately and knowingly committing sins. We all do that also, probably. We've all done it. A Vaishnava's tendency is not to commit sins because he's got nothing to gain. We may commit a sin. We may kill someone to get the insurance, or kill them out of anger for something. Stole my wife. Okay, kill him. You don't know. You don't know what is in people's minds. Maybe I'm making sins or offenses right now. What's a joke for someone is an offense to. That's why you can't. There's no humor left in American life, we heard, because most humor is making fun of the stupid people's thing that people do. But you're not allowed to anymore. You're not allowed to criticize anyone, or even indirectly, or make a joke. You can't say anymore. In India, there's so many jokes about Sikhs, and in. I guess that won't be allowed. And then in England, you joke about the Irish being stupid. And every people think that some other people, they have a whole bunch. It's the same jokes, but the jokes about the Sikhs in India, the same jokes about the Irish in England, but you're not allowed to make that anymore, right? How many Chinamen does it take to put a light bulb? And it's 100. 99, one to hold a light bulb and 99 to rotate the wall. No, that's the joke. But you're not allowed to make those kind of jokes anymore. But you don't know, because you're Indians, they don't put light bulbs in. You have to, because you're not that caste, right? You have to call the mystery to do that, because you won't do anything which is not in your caste. You could do it yourself. It takes 30 seconds, but it's below your dignity, so you have to call someone to do it. So, oh, then there's a philosopher's joke. How many philosophers does it take to put a light bulb, change a light bulb? What's the answer? What is a light bulb? Is the answer. If you know anything about philosophy, you'll know that everything's up for questioning. Everything. This is mundane philosophy. Everything is questionable. So sin, we all commit sin. And it's very serious. It's not just wars, but individually also. Why do we get serious diseases, or even less serious diseases, or anything goes wrong? When things go right, we think, oh, that's very nice. But we should know that things are going to go wrong also. That's just the nature of this world. The question also arises that we see that sinful people seem to prosper more. They say honesty is the best policy, but it's probably, in practical life, it's probably not true. It's if you lie, steal, cheat, make politics in the office, then you get ahead. You can't get ahead in the office just by being a good worker. By being a good politician is better. Better politics is the best policy. And especially the heads of powerful countries, they want to make a good public image, but they've all got blood on their hands. They've all done or very bad things or made decisions which unfairly cause great harm to others, at least. And then you may say, well, it's that person's karma. Yeah, but by becoming the instrument of that karma, you also become sinful. You may think, well, I'm going to kill this person. And anyway, it's their karma. But then you get bad karma for doing it. You're not appointed to do it. If you didn't do it, maybe someone else would do it. But yeah. So it's a great chain, and it's very difficult to get out of, because it is mahasha, it's a great fire which blazes out of control. Big fire brigades. So during the California fires, I suppose it'll go on and on, right? And until there are no more trees left to burn. They must have brought fire brigades from other states, a massive operation, but it's very difficult to put it under control. And it's impelled by the mode of passion, in which we don't think. It's anger. We don't think what we're doing. In anger. What is that? Narottam Das says, krodhe ba na kiba kore. I think they say, what is that you won't do when you're angry? You just lose all sense. When someone becomes furious, they lose all sense. So it's like that. We're impelled in material existence. We're impelled by the mode of passion to try to enjoy. And this takes over our consciousness, so that we're always thinking, what is my self-interest? And we have to suffer birth after birth after birth. And we try to forget that. We try to enjoy in various ways. But in our enjoyment, we also commit so many sinful activities. In this country, there are so many ways to enjoy sinfully, especially sinfully. In traditional Indian culture, enjoyment means you invite friends and relatives, especially that will come up automatically. There are so many sanskars because there are so many children, because there's no contraception, which is also sinful, by the way. Probably no one ever told you, but it's also sinful. So there are so many children, and then there are sanskaras for them, and there are regular religious festivals, apart from the festivals, Janmashtami, Rama Navami, then there for the local temple, there'll be particular festivals for that temple. So there's always something going. You invite people and you feed them and have kirtan, and that's entertainment. And here, entertainment is so much so much energy in these Western countries goes on in very complex methods of entertainment. This whole, what do they call it? They call it a gaming industry. That must be based here, is it, in Silicon Valley? That is that where they make it all, a lot of it?
Japan is well, spread all across the world.
I see. There's no one place for that. I see, okay. And supposed to be intelligent people get literally addicted and stay up all night playing these games. Just complete nonsense. But it's somewhat intelligent nonsense, in as much as you're involved in some intergalactic war and strategies, and then at the moment when there's some intergalactic monster shooting you, you have to shoot back, otherwise you get supposedly, I don't know, I really don't know. I know one devotee who is addicted, and he stay up all night playing playing some historical fighting or something, pretending they're in the 16th century or something, and all nonsense. And then what is there? This whole nightlife. What is this nightlife? Nightlife means rakshasas. Nishacha. That's the common word for rakshasa, nishacha. The nishacha means they move around at night, whereas sane people, they sleep at night, or they don't go out, because anyway, there can be snakes, and it can be dangerous to go out at night. But anyway, it's a time for peacefulness. And if you're not going to be asleep, if you're spiritually advanced, then you stay awake and you chant and you meditate. But they have nightlife, and the whole big areas to nightlife, right? With what is it? And all sinful activities. All sinful activities. Most sinful activities. It's called nightlife. That's enjoyment. And they have to suffer. They're going to have to suffer for that. What do they call Las Vegas? Sin City. And that's its prestige. They're proud of it, yeah. Sin City, as if it's something desirable. Yeah, very, 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 very bad culture. Really, you're mostly all coming from India. You came here for, what do they call that? They call them George Washington's or something, the dollar bills.
Benjis,
yeah. It's mostly digital nowadays. And you can't be blamed in many ways. Like to blame you, because that's my tendency to do so. But we see so many Brahmins there by demoniac government policies in India, they're deprived of their livelihood. They see that the temples are being mismanaged, so the government, they're saying the priests are corrupt, so we have to take away the management and put it in the government hands so that we, the government ministers, will be corrupt instead of, why are you enjoying? We'll enjoy it all. And so, or why so much land is given for these deities? What is all this nonsense, they say? And take all the land away. So the brahmanas, what are they going to do? They've got to do something to make a living. And so you go wherever you can. If you can go to America, then you... But you come here, and those of you who are just this generation, something of the culture is going on. Your children, grandchildren, many lose it right away, right? They come right in, and it's first thing is, where's the beef burger? Where's the booze? And you don't even have to come to America. They have pubs in Bangalore, and everything bad. Indians, I often think they're the most foolish people in the world, because they've got the best culture and they're throwing it away. They got the best thing, and you're looking for the worst thing. So anyway, you've come to Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish this Indian culture all over the world. And how many? Indian culture means the center is Krishna. Vedaischa sarvaraham eva vedyaha. How many times he quoted Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janmaja Janma Shata Kari Koro Para Upaka. The Indians, they should, the persons who've got a human birth in the land of India should take very seriously making their life successful. Janma Sartak, that you're doing, Saarta, getting money, but here it means making it meaningful. Otherwise life is meaningless. Without Krishna consciousness, make it meaningful and then do good for others. But instead you're caught up with this very, very low class. It's very low class, this animal, worse than animal level, all the eating meat and drinking wine, and little by little it goes. Vegetarian, then you start taking garlic, onion, and that's everywhere. I used to see in the which bazaar is that? Gopinath Bazaar used to be the Brahmin area. The Brahmins would go there. There was no garlic onion. Then the garlic and onion came in that area. And no garlic and onion, because no one would buy it. So if I say garlic and onion, then maybe a little chicken outside the home, and then mutton, and then beef, and then they need alcohol to digest it all. And you get worked up, so you need some sex, extra sex. Everything's lost, everything's gone. So you should maintain that. You want to do good to others. I can suggest that if you're very kindly coming to this program, you want this, right? You're not going to the bars. You could go to the bars. They must be open now, is it?
Yeah.
They must be, but you're not going. You're coming to hear topics of Krishna. You can wear dhoti, right? Put on tilak, kurta, you can do. If you're really bold, you could get away with it in America. You could go with tilak to work, you can do. I know one from Sri Rangam, one young man. He's not young now. But he had to go because the family, getting the sisters married, everything. There's no money in being an archaka, being a priest. So when he came to America, and he would go to work with his full tilak and his big shika, everything. Then he got transferred back to Bangalore. No, you can't have this at work. Here at least you can do it, because you can do it. And people are afraid to criticize, because it's the age of non-criticism, right? It's microaggression. So you can do. Why not? Someone might ask you. You can keep some books for giving away. At least some small books. Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. Do good to others. So Papanashana, it's the age of Kali. And sinfulness is spread everywhere. There are ways to get free from sin by doing prayaschitta, atonement. But that, as we find in the beginning of the sixth canto, Parikshit Maharaj, he was very concerned because at the end of the fifth canto, of course, when Shukadev Goswami was speaking, there was no first canto, second canto, third canto, just like when Krishna was speaking, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna didn't say, well, now I'm going to begin this. Well, actually, he only began, most of the chapters began with Arjuna. But yeah, okay, say chapter 16. He didn't say, okay, now I'm going to begin chapter 16. But there's a clear change of topic. Anyway, what was I talking about? I got off. Parikshit, yeah. He was very concerned hearing about these punishments in hell. Presumably he'd heard about this before because he's from a cultured background, but he hadn't heard it from Shukadev. Shuka is such a great rishi who is, he knows everything. Everything that is to be said, he can explain. He explains so many things. So becoming very concerned, he's about to die himself, but he's very concerned. What happened? How can people get free from sin? Because by sin they have to suffer so terribly. And then Shuka, he tested him, tested Parikshit by saying, well, you can do prayaschitta vimarshanam. Srila Prabhupada quoted that many times. You can do these activities, but then Parikshit, who himself as a king, had one of the major parts of being a king is that you have to deal with and punish criminals. So he said that, well, we see the criminals, you punish them and then they go on doing what they're doing, even if they're punished. It doesn't relieve the tendency. Punishment doesn't relieve the tendency to do wrong. It may make us afraid of doing wrong, but the desire to do wrong doesn't go. Then we should cultivate knowledge and know that it's wrong, but still, again, the question comes, why do we do wrong things even we know it's wrong? Janbuj karke. We know it's wrong, but still we do wrong. Why is that? Then Parikshit, he didn't accept that either. And then the proper answer came, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana aghangdan vantikarsneya niharam eva bhaskara. Just as the fog, how are we going to clear the fog? You must get fog here, is it, in the winter? Thick fog, I can imagine. Next to the sea, especially, you'll get it. Or in any humid climate. So what are you going to do? Bring the fire brigade? What will they do? Blow it away? Nothing you can do. You can just wait for the sun to come up. And by the heat of the sun will gradually or quite quickly dispel it. So, kevalaya bhaktya, by pure devotion to Krishna, is like the rising sun which dispels the fog. Kechit, don't expect everyone. It's not very common. But those who take this up, those who go to Krishna, those who are Vasudeva Parayana, those who are attached to Vasudeva, for them all sins are very quickly cured. And sin, there's a whole science of understanding that. There's the sinful activity, there's the reaction to the sinful activity, there's the desire to perform sinful activity, and even deeper than the desire is the tendency. We may have a specific desire, I desire, but there's that tendency within the heart. So we're talking about culture. We should maintain that culture. But even that in itself may not be a full protection, as we see that Ajamil, just by a little touch of, he never thought of performing such sinful activities, but just by a little contact, his mind became so contaminated. So he was worshipping Narayana, but he hadn't achieved that platform of pure devotion. So the point is, by Narayana, Vishnu, we can be relieved from sin. Even the prayaschitta, we're relieved from sin, from the sinful reaction, that atonement, you perform some atonement. For different sins, different atonements are recommended. It's similar. If it is a small sin, some small atonement. For a serious sin, very serious atonement. But that's also, how is it cleared by Vishnu, who gives the processes in Shastra? He makes the laws of nature. So it's from him. He is the one who destroys sins. Papam nashyati iti papa nashana. Nashana means to destroy, the destroyer of sins. The word pap comes from the root pa, which gives the idea of protection. Protection? Huh? How does that come out to mean sin? Pa, with the affix pa and then pa, it comes to mean that from which one should protect oneself. It's called papa. Pati asmat atmanam iti papaha. That from which one should protect oneself is papa. We should protect ourselves from sin. Should always be conscious. Am I doing right or am I doing wrong? So what are we going to do to protect ourselves from sin when we can't avoid it? Well, we should try to avoid it. If we say, well, we can't avoid sin, so just don't bother. Anyway, all the brahmacharis, they all fall down, so just let them fall down. You should try to protect. But the positive process, yesterday I was talking about positive and negative approaches in bhakti. The positive process is to think of Krishna. Meditate on his pastimes, to chant his holy names, to worship him, to fully surrender to him. Saradhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. Krishna says, forget all these other things like prayaschitta, karmakanda, jnanakanda, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, just forget all that. Fully take shelter in me. I will deliver you from all sins, which means all stages of sin, even the tendency to sin is destroyed. Don't worry. Mahashucha, Varada Raja. Who's been there? Varada Raja, Kanchipuram. And you can read the Tamil. It's written in Tamil. We can't read it, we're told. Mashucha. What the Varadaraj means, the king of those who give benediction. So his best benediction is Mashucha. He has a written on his hand, which is in short for Savadhaman Parija. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm here to protect you. You have to surrender, then he fully protects, and he's capable to do so. By meditating on how he steals, he's a thief, the greatest thief. Uh, Well, let's begin. We meditate on his stealing butter and curd and the gopis' clothes. He'll take our sins away also. If we think about his birth, we won't be born again. Janma karma cha me divyam. If we meditate on, or if we think about his drinking his mother's milk from the breast of Mother Yashoda, we won't have to suck another mother's breast. If we think of his being bound by ropes by Yashoda, we won't be bound again by the ropes of material nature. Daivi Yesha Gunamai, this the three modes of material nature, they're like ropes. So we should think of his pastimes and be free even from the tendency to commit sin. He comes to protect the devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam. He does so by killing the enemies of the devotees. Vinashayata dushkritam. But the worst enemies are the internal enemies. Well, they're called the Shararipu, right? The six enemies. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. These are the six enemies. Who's your worst enemy? Who's the worst enemy? Our own minds. What is that? Udhared atman atmanam natmanam avasadiyat. Oh, that's another verse. Bandur atma atmanas tasya yena atmaiva. An atmanas, one who's not fixed up in spiritual practices, spiritual knowledge, he's his own worst enemy. That's a saying in English, you're your own worst enemy. An atmanas tu shatrutve. So he kills that's his real help in destroying the internal enemies. Nrsimhadev came to protect Prahlad Maharaj from the demoniac attempts of Hiranyakashipu, but Prahlad wasn't bothered actually by that. He wasn't bothered by Hiranyakashipu, but then he prays to Hiranyakashipu. He prays to Nrsimhadev. He tries to instruct. It's quite unusual. The son is trying to instruct the father Hiranyakashipu. He prays to Nrsimhadev. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namastejas. You're so powerful. Namastejas tejase avir avibhava vajranakas vajradangsha. You got so powerful. Teeth and nails and so powerful. But karmashayan, this whole reservoir of desire for material enjoyment within my heart, just dispel all that. Karmashayan randhaya. Tamograsa grasa, take out all the darkness from my heart. Tamograsa grasa, abhayam atmanibhuvishto, make us fearless in this material world. So Prahlad, he never prayed to Nrsimha for protection from Hiranyakashipu, but leading the residents of Jambadweep, he has them pray to Nrsimhadev for protection from the inner enemies. When we meditate on his Vishnu's auspicious qualities, then we start to develop them at our level. We become purified. Now, just coming up in this Vishnu Sahasranam, now we're just coming to the end, and at the end there'll be description of the weapons of the Lord. And he's holding the weapons of the Lord. Chakri, Shankha, Brit, Sarva, Praharana, Ayuda. The names about his weapons. These weapons are for the protection of the devotees. But they're also persons. Everything's personal in the spiritual world. And we can pray to them for protection also. One of the commentators, Sri Vaishnava commentator, Sri Mushnam Andavan, explains that ordinary thieves steal material things, tangible things, but Bhagavan, he steals even the propensity to steal, the propensity to do wrong. He takes that out from the heart of the devotees. Chaurasya chauryam, the tendency to steal of the thieves, jagati prasiddham. He is well known as the stealer of the very thought of stealing, which serves as a metaphor for all other kinds of sins, for those who meditate on his pastimes of stealing. Quoting Peri Arlaval, how can I, oh my most beautiful dear Lord, how can I ever describe the great benefit? Of course, this was composed in Tamil. How can I ever describe the great benefit that I've received because of you, your grace? The sins push me down mercilessly like demons and ghosts. Demons, they just throw you down on the ground, and sometimes some ghosts are very powerful, they just throw you down. But they've just left. They've gone out without making it. It's just like prisoners, if they can escape. So they're trying to run away. All these bad influences, they just run away. When we take shelter of Krishna, when Krishna gives his mercy to us. This is in Gita at the end. Krishna says, I will take away all your sinful reactions. And in various ways, he's already said that several times in the Gita. Famously, janma karma cha me devyam evang yo veti tatvataha tyagdva dehang punar janma naiti maam eti sojana. One who knows my appearance and activities to be spiritual, who fully knows this and understands and accepts it fully, doesn't get born again after leaving this body but comes to me. Why do we get reborn? Sin? Sinful desire? We have committed sinful acts which we have to get the result for, and maybe pious acts which we also have to get the result for. And we have so many desires, so we have to be born again. But if we become absorbed in Krishna, we don't have to get born again. Again in Gita, another example. Yomam ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshvaram asamurha samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. Krishna tells Arjuna, he who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undeluded among men, is freed from all sins. Shankaracharya gives a very similar understanding. Kirtita pujito dhyayata smrita paparashim nashayan papanashana. He destroys the sins of those who worship him, meditate upon him, remember him. The whole paparashi, the whole stock, is destroyed. In this regard, Shankaracharya gives support for, or he justifies his explanation of this name by quoting from a work called the Vridha Shatatapa, in which it is stated that whatever sins are removed by fasting for a fortnight are destroyed by performing 100 pranayamas. Sounds easier. Whatever sins are destroyed by 1,000 pranayamas are removed in a fraction of a second by meditating on Hari. Fraction, it means immediate. But we should be careful. Nam no baladyasya hi papa buddhihi. They don't think, yeah, okay. So just chant and free from all sins. That won't work. That becomes offensive to the holy name. What happens if we're thinking about his pastimes, then that purifies us. And that's what Bhishma tells Yudhishthira. Why is this Vishnu Sahasranam being spoken by Bhishma to Yudhishthira? Because Yudhishthira was very anxious. How do we get free from all these sins? He thought, I'm so sinful, having been the catalyst for this terrible war, and we saw so many sins. Even fighting can be done according to the laws of dharma, and fighting not in and of itself sinful, you can go to heaven by fighting, that Krishna tells Arjuna. What is that? Sukhina kshatriya partha labantam yudham ijisham swaga dwaram apavritam, the gates to heaven open for the kshatriyas if they can fight. But there were so many methods which were outside the scope of dharma, which were engaged in the battle of Kurukshetra, one after another. They just got more and more away from the proper standard of fighting. Of course, when Krishna does it, it's okay. But sometimes people are, he's lying and causing, his lying caused the death of Drona, and then Bhishma also, Arjuna taking advantage of, and the very fact that he killed Bhishma was in itself, he was very afraid of committing sins. That's how the Bhagavad Gita came to be spoken. But he did, taking shelter of the, what do they call that? Transgender. Shikhandi. Shakuni is, he's really at the bottom of all the, way, way back, 13 years previously. And then they're fighting all night toward the end of the battle, which is also against dharma. And then Krishna in various things he does. So, Bhishma told Yudhishthira, how do you get free from sins? Tasya loka pradhanasya jagannathasya bhupate vishnor nama sahasrame shrunu papa bayapaham. O King Bhupati, this morning we're talking about this name Kshitisha, another synonym is Bhupati, King. O King, hear from me the thousand names of Vishnu, who is the Lord of the universe, the most important in the world, which remove all sin and all fear. We should be afraid of sin. We're afraid of the reactions to sin, but we may try to avoid the reaction. We should be afraid of sinning. Srila Prabhupada is often quoted that he said, my disciples, that I have a complaint against them, they're not afraid enough of Maya. We should protect. At the end of Bhagavatam, Nama Sankirtana, very last verse, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Shamana Tang Namami Harim Param. I offer obeisance, I bow down to Lord Hari, the Supreme, the chanting of whose names, just simply by that, destroys all sins, and by worshipping whom all sorrows, relief from all sorrows. In Jagadananda Pandit's Prem Biborta, very useful if you're going to read. You can read this time to time. Ek Krishna name papya jato papa koi bahu janme se papi karite naroi. Which means that even by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, someone can be so sinful. Just, it's almost impossible to imagine. Just think of all the sins someone could do in many lifetimes. We've done them all. We must have done them all because we have so many births. We do so many so many bad things. We can't even imagine, but a sinful person, even if someone's trying to be sinful, even in many lives, he can't commit that many sins that can't be destroyed by the recitation of Krishna's name even once. The example is there of Ajamil. He was spectacularly sinful, and his sinfulness became much more because he came from a non-sinful background. All the people around here are eating beef and drinking alcohol. If you do it, you Indians, you get more sinful reaction. You know that? Because you're supposed to know better. Knowledge brings responsibility. It's just like if there may be so many drunkards who are fighting in the street, but if two doctors, medical doctors, surgeons, they're found on the street drunk and brawling, it'll be considered much worse, right? Because they're supposed to be respected. What about if they're high court judges and they're brawling on the street? It is disgraceful. What about the president of America? If he does very, very bad things, it should be considered most disgraceful, right? As someone of such a stature, they're expected to be respectable. So Ajamil, he was very respectable, Brahmin background, but he fell into the lowest condition. And actually the kind of things he was doing was just quite normal for a chandala. Just having illicit sex, and stealing, and maybe killing people to take their money. But a good Brahmin brain, he was probably more expert at doing it. He became more culpable for his sins. But then one name of Vishnu, Narayana, destroyed all the sins. Actually, that came up that someone had written that he chanted the name of Narayana three times, and Prabhupada noticed it. He said it wasn't three times, only one time. That's enough. That's the whole point of that narration. How can it be free from all sins? And then two... substantiate this point, we have the whole recitation of Ajamil given by Shukadev Goswami to substantiate the point. Ajamil's chanting was not pure chanting. It relieved him from sins, but that didn't give love of God. That has to be with the specific intention of developing love of God. Haridas Thakur was asked about this. He was challenged on this. That how can you say people are trying so hard and they do great austerities and they can't get free from sinful reactions, and you're saying that just by chanting the name of the Lord once you can be free from sinful reactions? And Haridas, he upheld that, and he had great faith in that. That by chanting you can be relieved from all sins. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, commenting on this, said that people, they don't know the value of chanting the holy names. Even by namabhas, even not at the pure level, that even the chanting of namabhas, and he said even namaparada, does more value for the world than millions of hospitals and philanthropic works. Even namaparada, he said. Not encouraging namaparada. But even the improper chanting is more valuable. And non-devotees, they'll get very upset if we hear that. All your opening hospitals, opening schools so that people can get degrees and then go to America, and there's no actual value for the world in the fullest sense of the term. Of course, yeah, are hospitals needed? We need hospitals. Srila Prabhupada once asked, I've heard this from several, including Basu Ghosh, who was there at the time, or maybe he was told it. But he was asked, why in ancient India we see there were no hospitals? They built temples, they had schools, but we don't hear about hospitals. Maybe because they didn't have such advanced medical technology. Srila Prabhupada said the main reason was because people were Krishna conscious. That's the main reason. And then one thing is, you don't get sick so much if you lead a pure life. Another thing is, then you get sick and you tolerate, that's all. We see so many people, it used to be. Nowadays everyone goes to hospital, but previously it's just like this Ayurveda. All these, it's very common and popular, this panchakarma. But that would only be for very rich people, and there are not that many Ayurvedic doctors. It wasn't a business, and the kings, they may have it. Otherwise, people, they wouldn't do this. So whatever their physical condition, they just try to tolerate. Of course, if we have a valuable service to do for Krishna, then we should maintain that. It's not that we don't maintain the body, but by proper diet, regulated lifestyle, early to bed, early to rise, and the mind is clean by worshipping Krishna or even worshipping demigods. It gives regulation and following dharma. So many diseases, so we're told, have psychological causes because people have bad thoughts in their hearts, or the people are so stressed in modern life. What's the Sanskrit word? We know that we are mostly South Indians, is it? Yeah. But there's a Hindi word for stress is? Tanav. This is a common word. It's not Sanskrit, right? What's the Sanskrit word? Chinta, maybe, but that doesn't exactly fit, does it? It's just like, what's the Sanskrit word for divorce? What's the Hindi word? Talak. Which language does that come from? Urdu, which comes from Arabic Persian. And they made up a word in Sanskrit, vivaha viched, but you won't find in any shastra there's any such thing. There's no such thing. What do they call abortion? Garbhapat. It's not, garbhapat means a miscarriage. The word is given in shastra, brunhatya, murdering the embryo, but they don't like to use that word. It's heavy, yeah, it's heavy. Sometimes recommended. Can be recommended. Like the devas, they wanted to kill the embryo of... No, they didn't. They were waiting for it to come out. Oh, there is infanticide that Vidura recommended to Dhritarashtra. This Duryodhana, kill him right away. As soon as he was born. That was also the, what do they call that, incubation? They have that test tube baby. All the sons of Dhritarashtra were test tube babies. Right? So, nothing new. But why didn't they have hospitals? One thing, people kept healthy, and then people knew also. I think I wrote that in that book, The Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. Whereas I was traveling in Bangladesh in the villages in the 1980s, there was no Western medicine, there were no doctors, no hospitals, no roads as we know them, no motor cars, no motorcycles, no motor anything, no motors of any kind. So someone gets sick, and then the women just go and collect some herbs, and then you take the herbs, or they roll it on the shield, on the stone, make some juice, or you take it internally or externally. Bitten by a snake, you call the fakir, and he does something like calling different. They have different methods. By mantra, they may call the snake back to take the poison out again. Put the teeth go in, or they have different ways. Cure jaundice, there are different ways of doing it. By mantra and herbs. Mantra shodiva shasarpa. By mantra and medicine, a snake can be controlled. So they knew all these things. They didn't have hospitals, Srila Prabhupada. They didn't have hospitals. Now we think they're very great welfare work, hospitals. People die in hospital so many times. This major cause of death is mistreatment in the hospital. There are figures like that. I mean, it's like 200,000 a year in America, something like that, due to wrong treatment. You've all heard the name of Sridevi. Sridevi is the wife of Vishnu, but Sridevi, the actress, she sent her mother to America for an operation, and she came back and there's still terrible pain and everything. What happened? They did the operation on the wrong side.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Well, they get the medical records mixed up, so they do the operation for one person or another person. So beware of hospitals. Having said that, there are devotees who, just like Jayapataka Maharaj, he spends a lot of time in the hospital, but he has a very strong desire to see that temple, the Vedic planetarium, opened. So if you have important service to do, that's one thing. I don't want to die tomorrow. I mean, I have books to write, and I want to see this Krishna life developing, and I want to see our farm projects and Varnashram established. So I try to keep the body healthy, but if you're not doing anything important for Krishna, then just go. That's all. Time to go? Go. That's all. Don't hold on. Baladev Vidyabhushan also gives his understanding of this name Papanashana, or the inspiration given within his heart by Sarasvati. By his sacred person, he removes the sinful reactions of material activities from the listeners. That's one thing. So that's straightforward. Everyone, or the commentators all say that. And Baladev Vidyabhushan makes the point that even the demons killed by him get liberation, which means he removes all their sins. So paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam, it comes to the same thing. He removes the sins. Baladev Vidyabhushan points out, you don't get liberation without having sins, sinful reaction removed. So we should meditate on him and all the bad qualities. We say, lust, anger, greed, calm, growth, love, illusion, pride, envy. But there's this depression, despair. This depression or despair, it means we don't have connection with Krishna. We don't have faith in Krishna's protecting us. Anxiety, if we're in anxiety for our material situation, we can say it's quite natural, but we should know that Krishna's protecting us. So we should always think of Krishna protecting us. Satyasandha Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya gives different understanding. He breaks up Papanashana as Papanaha Ashnati. Ashnati means eating. Patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prachiti tadaham ashnami. I eat, Krishna says. Give it to me, I'll eat, if you offer it with love. So he eats the sins. This is the explanation given by Satyasandhatirtha. Of who? Papanaha, sinful people. He eats the sins of the sinful people. It's very merciful of him. He kills them. And even sinful persons, he comes to this world to make the sinful non-sinful. So that's some discussion of the name. Papanashana. There's a holy place in South India, Tamil Nadu, visited by... Actually, there are several places called Papanashana. One in Tamil Nadu is visited by Chaitanya, specifically said visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Question, you looks like you have a question lined up or comment.
Srila Pillu Mangal Thakur in his Chorashtakam. He's has a very nice verse.
Yeah, said to be. Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, we have Vallabhacharya's Chauraga Granyar Ashtakam.
Oh, that's the same. Yeah. Okay, I see.
I believe
it's Vallabhacharya.
Well, it's, as far as I remember, it's not very clear, but at least the Vallabh Sampradaya, they claim it, and it's one of their popular songs. Among their many, many, many songs, they have many, many songs. It's a very big part of the Vallabh Sampradaya, is songs for Krishna. This one's in Sanskrit. Most of them are in Brij Bhasha, the Vallabh Sampradaya songs.
Yadiya namapi haratya shesham giri prasaran apipapa rashin asari rupo nanuchaura idrik drishta shrutova namaya kadapi. Mere utterance of his name purges one of a mountain of sins. Such an astonishingly wonderful thief I have never seen or heard of anywhere.
This is not the Charagra Ganyashtakam.
This is Charagra Ganya Purushashtakam.
Oh, maybe Charagra Ganya Purushashtakam. Maybe a little different.
Oh, I see.
There are so many wonderful things. You can all... being of Indian background, that's a great advantage for understanding all these shastras and then the songs. How many songs are there in Gaurya Vaishnav culture? No one knows. Thousands, thousands, thousands. Many of them lost. We only know a few. Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally wrote so many songs, most of which we have. Some of them no one ever sings. Hardly they're sung. They mostly fall in those collections of the Sharanagati, Gitavali, Gitamala, Kalyan Kalpataru, yeah. But there are others also. Outside of those, just, there are some in Jaiva Dharma.
The magazine that they used to give out much, in Paramarthi.
Paramarthi is the Aurya magazine.
In those also they were quoted. Bhajans of Bhakti, you know, Thakur were there in that too.
Well, many of them were published originally in Sajjana Toshani, the magazine which Bhaktivinoda Thakur published. And then later, Paramananda Brahmachari, on the order of Bhaktivinoda, who came in a dream after Bhaktivinoda had passed away, told him to find out all those old magazines, collect them all, and publish them. And that's very much part of our tradition. And of course, also in Gaudiya culture, the songs of Narottam Das are very, very much central. Again, not all of them are so well known. Some of them in particular. Okay, so Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpataru bhyas chakripa sindhu bhyava chapatitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Tante nitaya chunakang padayo anipatya kritva chakaku shatam etad aham ravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chanda charne guru tanuraga. Parivadatu jano yatha tatava nanu mukaro navayang vicharyamaha hari rasa madira madati. Bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
His Holiness Bhakti Kala Swami Maharaj Ki. Yeah!
No, no, no. What is this hand? What is this hand clapping? It's like a performance or something? What is that? Talking about doing old songs, Radha Kripa. Then what is that? Nidja Siddha Deho, Nidja Siddha Nam, Nidja Rupa Parijaya, Radha Kripa Bale, Labhibo Bhakobe, Krishna Prema Prakaran. Radha Kripa comes in his songs. And of course there's the Radha Kripa Kataksastava, that's there also. Okay, so Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Time for prasadam.